Dance in celebration of National American Indian Heritage Month. Performances begin at 10:45 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. on Tuesday, November 15th at the museum, and will feature Aztec and Native dance traditions. The Chickawa Conroe Tech.
Okay, listeners out there in Radio Land, the unruffled beat of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch signals Thursday 10 p.m. and time for So What's Your Story, the coolest place on your dial because it's the only program originating in Houston that is devoted entirely to storytelling. Right here on listener-sponsored KPFT at 90.1 FM in Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 91.9 in Huntsville, not to mention live streaming at kpft.org on the Internet. I'm your host, Dr. Mary Edgerton, professor of pathology at MD Anderson, and every week, along with my fellow hosts, Dr. Hank Rubicek, Greg Audell, Dr. Warren Holloman, and interns Nicole Grady and Alondra Mejia, we celebrate the power of story and the richness of storytelling talent that dots the human landscape of our city. By the way, everybody, today is Warren's birthday. Happy birthday, Warren. Okay, listeners, good thoughts for Warren's birthday. And now, thanks to all of you who supported KPFT, and a special thank you to those of you who supported So What's Your Story. Our show achieved 4 times our goal. This is very exciting, and we owe a very special thank you to 2 of our fans, Alice Evergreen and Stephanie Twyford, for their very generous donation to the show this last week. Now, I'm going to introduce my storyteller in a few minutes, but just a little bit more about the show. Every week, here at Listener Sponsored 90.1 KPFT, we devote this show to the ancient art of storytelling. Stories bring history to life in a very personal way, and they emphasize our connections as human beings to each other within the context of our history. I do like to reflect the season in our theme. Guys, I have to admit, this time it's a stretch. But I just so love hearing our guest tonight, Ms. Charlene Brown Polk, tell stories, and so I wanted to share her with you, our listeners. So here we are. This October, we celebrated the 25th year of International Infection Prevention Week, and my guest today, Ms. Charlene Brown Polk, works in the microbiology lab at MD Anderson. So, Ms. Charlene, how's that for a stretch?
Hey!
Because we will not be talking about microbiology tonight, but we will hear your stories of starting out as a lab technician working in Tulsa, Oklahoma in the 1980s. And this is of special interest because Ms. Charlene is an African-American woman from Louisiana. And as we know from both history and recent events, Tulsa was not a friendly place to African Americans. This year marks the 95th anniversary of the terrible race riots in Tulsa in 1921 that ripped the city apart. So, Ms. Charlene, tell me about your first experiences working in Tulsa.
Well, it started back in the 80s, and I was working at a private lab that was going well until the oil boom hit at Phillips 66. Which they owned the lab company I was working for. But then it had to close up, and with jobs being hard to find, no one knew where they were going to go. Well, one of our managers by the name of Dusty Rivers stated he was going to help everyone find employment. So he sent me to Dr. R.G. Williams' office. He said he needed a lab person. I went for the interview. When I walked in the door and saw everyone sitting there, I knew I didn't have a chance. I got up to leave and came, walked to the door, and something said stay. So I turned around, went back, took a seat, told the secretary I was going to sit. He was interviewing, doing seeing patients. Well, around lunchtime, he was still going, and I said, well, I don't think I'm going to get back there. He didn't get to me until 4 o'clock that evening. And when I got back there, he said, I was waiting on you. Well, of course, to my surprise, I'm going, you were? And he said, yes. He said, Dusty Rivers told me all about you. You can get blood out of a turnip. I go, I don't know if I could go that far, but we'll see. So he gave me the key and told me to be there that Monday morning. Now, I didn't know he didn't tell the other employees that I got hired. So when I opened the door and came in the back door where everybody come in at, they all stopped and their hands went up because they were all Caucasian, so they thought I was coming in to rob them. And I go, no, I'm just a new lab person that's here to work. So I went back to the lab. About an hour later, he comes in laughing, and he said, so what did they do when you walked in the door? I said, they all held their hands up. They thought I was coming in to rob the place. And he got a kick out of that. I didn't think it was funny, but he did. So we go on, and patients were coming in to get their blood drawn. And by these being elderly Caucasian people, they were still in that prejudice mode. So when I went in to draw their blood, they didn't want me to take it, so I had to call the nurse in. Well, she was not good at that. After she missed a couple of times, and she said, you have to go in and do this. So I did. I went in, and the lady said, you better be good. So when I got her on the first stick, she told the rest of them. Then the line started lining up. Every morning, is the lab girl here? Well, you know, the lab girl is named Charlene, but they all call me lab girl. Whatever worked, long as we got the job done.
Charlene, that's such a great story. You were able to, you were hired. He was waiting for you. And then you were able to take these people who probably had never had an African-American person touch them.
Actually, they didn't.
And then they were lining up asking for you.
They were lining up.
I know personally that you have a special way of giving comfort to people, and you've comforted me. Now, how long did you work for Dr. Williams?
About 3.5 years. And then I was going to move here to Houston. And that was the funniest thing, because when I had flown down to Houston and came to MD Anderson for my interview and went back and told him I was going to be leaving, he called HR here in Houston and told them I was going to have to stay an extra month.
He didn't want to let you go.
No, he didn't.
Oh,
he really didn't.
I'm sure. And how about the people, those patients? Did they express any sorrow in you leaving?
Oh, my gosh, did they ever. When they found out I was leaving, I had baked goods. Someone made me a beautiful blanket. All my stuff. Just to know that doing the right thing and a good thing with people, how it changed everyone. It was just great. And I got to the feeling, I go, well, you know what? I don't want to go either, but I didn't have a choice. So, you know, it was a sad situation at that time. We were all crying, but we made it through.
Well, I'm so glad you were able to get there and really show them that people are just people. It doesn't matter what the color of your skin is.
Exactly.
So we have more to hear from Charlene about working in Tulsa in the second half of our show. I just want to remind everybody right now that we are KPFT, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio at 90.1 FM in Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 90.1 in Huntsville. For those further abound, you can catch us live streaming on the internet at kpft.org. Well, now, Nicole, can you just tell us a little bit about our sponsor, the Houston Storytellers Guild?
Well, great news, people of Houston. The Houston Storytellers Guild is meeting again as of September. it will resume, and it has resumed to its normal schedule this month, and that's the meeting of the fourth Tuesday night from 7 to 8:30 p.m.
And how is their new location working out?
Well, you know, I heard it's working very well. As you remember, as a result of the fire at the Printers Museum, the Houston Storytellers Guild has moved to a brand new location, and that's the Haven Center at 1805 West Alabama, and it's right here in Montrose. The next meeting will actually be coming this Tuesday, October 25th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. So be sure to check out their site at www.houstonstorytellers.org for all the latest updates. And it's right next to the chocolate bar.
Ooh, I didn't know that. And yes. I've signed up, so I'm going to be down
there.
Get
your chocolate while you're there.
Oh, yes. It's so wonderful that they are back. And it is wonderful they're next to the chocolate bar. Houston Storytellers Guild is one of the most active and vital storytelling organizations in the U.S. So, everybody, let's go and welcome them back. They're also very important to our show because they keep an archive of all of the So What's Your Story broadcasts. You can find them at the Houston Storytellers Guild on the Internet under the radio show tab. I don't know about you, but I love listening to some of my favorites over and over. And if I can't get to the radio at 10 p.m. on a Thursday night, I know I can get the broadcast hot off the waves as it ends, either at kpft.org or at the Houston Storytellers Guild website.
And you know, Mary, another exciting storytelling venue is, of course, the Houston Moth Story Slams. And they meet on the second Tuesday night of each month at Warehouse Live. And they are produced by our very good friend, Elizabeth Sosa Bailey, with the hard to imitate.
Oh, she's inimitable, isn't she?
Yes, yes. Dusty Rhodes as host and featuring many of the storytellers and hosts that you hear right on this lovely, lovely show, your favorite show. You can find out more about the shows and the schedule events at www.themoth.org. The next theme is 9 to 5 on Tuesday, November 16th.
Okay, and now how about telling our listeners how to find the news about our own show, So What's Your Story, here at 90.1 KPFT?
I would love to tell our listeners about their very favorite show, So What's Your Story? So you can check us out. Check us out on our Facebook page. You can friend us, like us, and post photos. Tell us what you're thinking. Give us ideas for guests and suggestions for other storytelling venues. And just last month, we have introduced our Instagram account, yet another venue for posting pictures and comments.
Nicole, I'm going to have to go buy some new lipstick because I don't take any pictures without lipstick. In fact, I wear lipstick when I'm on the radio. Okay, everybody, just go to Facebook and type in, So What's Your Story? You can join our social network, read all about us, communicate with us, and keep up to date with information about our weekly show.
That's right, and Dr. Warren Holloman will be our host next week. And his guest is Dr. Barry Rose, an orthopedic surgeon and a cancer survivor from San Francisco, who just published a book about the importance of compassion in medicine titled The Cutting Edge of Compassion.
Thank you, Nicole. And for those of you who may not know, Warren runs the wellness program at MD Anderson to promote a healthy work-life balance. And that's very important for the physicians there. I know. I'm one of them. But now, back to our guest and stories about being an African American working in a doctor's office in Tulsa, Oklahoma in the 1980s. So, Charlene, were there ever any events in the office where you encountered racism, you know, aside from that initial part, which, yes, we would call it racism, where they didn't know you, but they were getting to know you. But but from your coworkers, after they did get to know you, did anything come up?
Yes, it did. A matter of fact, for lunch, everybody sits in the back and they knit or read or whatever you like to do for your hour. And one of the nurses, which was Dr. Williams' nurse, happened to make a remark. It was on the news that a little girl had gotten repeatedly raped by some guys, and her son was involved. Instead, she made a very ugly remark, and of course, I did get offensive about it.
Well, you can tell us what that remark was.
Well, she said that it wasn't her son that did it. It was the blacks that did it, because her son wouldn't have done that. And sure enough, the Tulsa police was looking for him. So when she said that, I really got upset. And that evening, she and I just had a little kind of rough discussion. And I knew Dr. Williams was going to be mad at me, the last to hire. So I went over to his home, and I told him what happened.
What? Tell us what happened. I know this story, guys. She's holding back a little bit, so I need to get her to come out and tell you the story.
Well, I hit her before I knew it. And I go, well, you know what? I'm fired. So here we go. So when I got to his house, I told him what happened, the remark that was made, and what I did. And if he was going to fire me, he could go ahead with no problem. I was already off the job then, and I wouldn't have to worry about coming back in the morning. He turned around and he said, kid, I'm not going to fire you. Be to work in the morning. So when he got in, he talked with her in the exam room. Then he called me in and he talked with me. Then he brought us in together. And he said, now that I got you all together, business is not going well. And one of you is going to have to let go. I was already getting my powers. I just said, let me go that the day before. He said, no, it's not going to be you. It's going to be Peggy. She don't know how to draw, but you know how to do all of it. And from that moment on, you know, I was overwhelmed because, one, I was just knew it was me that was leaving. But his heart was so good, and he knew what I knew how to do. And he said, no, you're going to stay. And I did. And after that, everybody else started watching what they said.
Oh, Charlene, that's great. Okay, so I know you cleaned up this story a little bit, and I know it's a word we don't like to use on the radio. But it was the N-word that she used.
Yes, it was.
And were you hurt by that? How did you feel? I mean, these were your colleagues.
I was most definitely hurt than for her to sit there. And the way she said it, like, you know, we're all bad people. And come to find out, it was none of us at all. It was her son. He was the main man behind what had happened to the child. And she hated to apologize. In fact, I didn't even want her apology because I knew then how she felt about me. So it was nothing else she can say. But after that, when she seen that I was going to be the one to stay, she said, I'm so sorry. I said, you know what? Just leave it alone because we're going to be all right.
That's right.
And she left.
You know, this Dr. Williams sounds like a magnificent person. Do you know what happened to him?
He was so funny, I tell you. The man was full of, he was a dialysis patient, and he loved his jokes. Dr. Williams would pull a joke on you any time of the day. You just have to be ready for it. But he was the most sincere, honest, heartfelt. He was just a good person. And I found out not too long ago that he had passed because I was going to try to get in touch with him. And he kept his office for quite a long time. In fact, he worked up until he died. So that was pretty good because he was in his 80s. So he was awesome.
He sounds like a wonderful person and a wonderful person for Tampa. A wonderful person for Tulsa.
Great. Great doctor for Tulsa.
Oh, that's wonderful. Did you tell me one time he's kind of a handsome man?
Yes, he is. He had silver gray hair with beautiful blue eyes. And when patients would come in, ladies would come in and she'd go, oh, I have a sore throat. Well, for a sore throat, you really don't have to get undressed. I just need to take your blood pressure, your temperature, your pulse. And he'll come in and see. Well, he walked in and he walked back out. He said, kid, I go, yes. What is she in for? I said, a sore throat. Well, she's in her slip. I said, okay. So I walked in the room and I go, you told me a sore throat and you're in your slip. We need to put a gown on. She said, but he is so handsome. I said, let me tell you a little something. He has been married to his wife for 40 years. He's not going nowhere.
I think that's wonderful. And you became pretty close to their daughter also.
Yes, I did. He had a teenage daughter because his wife had her going through her change. So his other two girls were grown and gone. And here Jill was, 16 years old. Her summer job was to come to the office and work. She was just a beautiful kid. Could sing like a little hummingbird. And she would come up there and she'd go, "My name is Jill, and Dad said that you had to show me how to do some things." I said, "Well, can you file?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "Well, okay. I need to have all these filed." And with that, she and I became real close. Well, being a 16-year-old, I'm looking for her to be running with her friends, but she didn't have very many friends. Because, you know, she liked to stay home all the time, read books. She just didn't get out there. So I invited her to our church to sing. And Dr. Williams came to hear her sing. And everybody just stood up and gave her a round of applause. She was just so great. But then she wound up getting anorexic. And he said, "Kid, I noticed Jill's getting skinny. I don't know what's going on." And I sat there and I said, on June 9th, Jill started babysitting the lady down the street from me, and the lady told her she was fat, and it went to her head. And she's not fat, she's just plump, but not fat. Anyway, before I got ready to leave to come to Houston, this kid went from 121 pounds to 91. So it was like, what are we going to do? You can tell her to go to bed, to wash the dishes, but you can't make her eat. So I brought her over with me, and just through talking, she was eating all of her food because nobody was nagging her to eat all the time. "Jill, eat your food. Jill, eat your food." We didn't do that when we went out. We just laughed and talked. When I noticed she had the spoon up, she go, "Charlene, I ate all my food." I go, "All right, girl." She said, "Let's get dessert." And I looked at her. I really didn't need dessert, but if it made her happy, we got dessert. And now she writes her own book on cooking and nutrition. And she's doing well in Tulsa. She survived, and I am so grateful. She looks good.
Oh, you know, I'm just so warmed by this doctor and you. I know you. I work with you, and you've helped me through some rough times. But you and this doctor just seem to come together and be the two right people at the right place at the right time. Let's talk a little bit, you know, about what's going on right now. I just wanted some of your opinion about some of the recent news about police shootings of unarmed black men over the last several years, one in Tulsa. And I know you've encountered racism, racist attitudes.
Oh, yes.
It's some immediate assumption, well, a black person must have done this if it was a bad thing. What do you think about what's going on?
Well, I think it's awful. We all need to come together. We really do. Hey, black lives matter. All lives matter. Everybody matter. And just, you know, in the heat of things, you know, I know sometimes stuff might come up on you, what to do. But some of the shooting is unnecessary for killing the people. Shoot him in the leg or whatever, but don't have to kill him. Because the last guy, he had a family, his daughter, little 7-year-old daughter, pleading. Her dad is gone, you know? And it's a lot of these black men who not going to be there to raise their family. And they need to be there. These kids need their dad. They need to have a male role in their life. So my thing is, before we act, think about what's going to happen if this continues, because it's getting bad. Through it all, we're going to make it, but we just need to think about it.
That's a great way to put it. I think we all need a lot more education. I think we need to learn where our biases and our reactions come from, and on both sides. And it kind of goes back to you and Peggy. Peggy reacted and used that N-word, and you reacted.
Yes, I did.
And people need to slow down a minute and say, hey, this is a country that's supposed to offer due process. Yes, all lives matter. We should offer due process to everybody. But we haven't offered it to blacks in the past.
No, we haven't.
And that's one reason why we have to say Black Lives Matter. Just like all lives matter,
Black lives matter too.
Charlene, I love your positive attitude and the love you have for everybody. And I love the fact that you're not, you've lived through all these things, but you're not bitter.
No.
In any way. So, listeners out there from all over, and I know we have listeners from all over. I have lots of friends across the U.S. who listen to us. I want you to remember that next week, Warren will be hosting Dr. Barry Rose. He's a physician, he's a cancer survivor, and he's an author, and he's going to be talking about compassion in medicine. And you can find this and all kinds of stories on So What's Your Story? Houston's only live radio storytelling show. So I pulled this up out of my past. Be there or be square. Well, hey, Miss Charlene, do you want to say goodnight to anybody special?
I like to say goodnight to all my family that's out there, especially the radio listeners tonight. Everyone have a safe and a good night.
Oh, well, thank you. And let's remember that we want to say happy birthday to Warren. I thank you again to Miss Charlene for this wonderful, wonderful story. I think, unfortunately, it's a continuing lesson for our country to break down these racial barriers. But I take joy in saying back to you, like you said to me, we're going to make it. That's for sure.
Yes, we are.
Okay, so Stacy is going to be next with the inner side to complete the backside of this Power Hour on KPFT. Listener sponsored radio. Make 90.1 a part of every day, and while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling, join us every Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story? And Miss Charlene Brown Polk was our storyteller tonight. And, of course, we are celebrating International Reduce Infections Week, but we just slipped in some extra stories about Tulsa.
Yes, we did.
Okay, remember to check out our Facebook page. Tell us about your stories. Tell us the stories that you like to hear. But for now, just remember, it is never too late to live happily ever after. Peace. And that's for everybody. That's for all of us, no matter what your color is.
That's it.
Are you a college-bound high school student interested in pursuing a degree in the areas of music, dance, theater, visual arts, or graphic design? Learn about admission requirements, explore your college options, and more at the Houston Performing and Visual Arts College Fair. The free event takes place on Tuesday, November 1st from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Rice University Alice Pratt Brown Hall. Arrive at 6 p.m. for the pre-fair workshop. For more information and to register, visit www.nacacnet.org/PVA. This is KPFT Houston.